tornadoes, hurricanes, blizzards. Yeah, we cover it all on Twister Talk.
It's a twister! It's a twister! Back up! Back up! Back up!
I was wondering if you see like pictures of Gizmo. She's got her paws in front of her eyes. Doesn't want to be photographed with them, but anyway. It's Twister Talk. I'm Gary.
I'm Sue.
I'm telling you, we have so much fun at Reed's expense.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah, his mustache is back. Did you notice?
Yeah, I noticed that. And again, kind of frightening.
It makes him look like a really cheesy porn star.
Yeah, from the 70s. Come on, man.
Reed. Lose the, you know.
Reed is 2024. You weren't even alive in the 70s, okay? But anyway, we were, and it wasn't all that fun.
It wasn't that great.
Well, by the way, just want to, again, remind everybody, we're on a new home for Twister Talk. That's transistor.fm.
Yep.
And, of course, we have the link on our Facebook page. Please stop by the Facebook page, because there's some pretty good stuff being posted there lately from other people.
So, yeah, our friend Raymond in New York, he definitely keeps us up to date, not only on severe weather, but on stuff that's going on in his area.
How about some of the snow totals, though?
Oh, man, crazy.
Last couple of days, like,
totally crazy.
Missed out again, I tell you.
Yeah, it all went north of us, thank goodness.
Yeah, I really didn't idea of 7 or 8 inches of snow.
Yeah, there are places getting a foot.
Yeah, I wasn't into that at all. That would just been like really a mess. So, thankfully, that did not happen. For us, we've had enough. The fact that we still lead the country in total tornadoes.
Yes. Welcome to 2024, which has already started out as a very weird year, because probably for the only time in history, Ohio is actually leading in the nation's storm tornado totals.
And that is so weird.
That's kind of crazy.
That
it's
is
like,
really,
what?
Really
We've
strange.
We've already had two good-sized outbreaks here.
Yes, we have. Now, the one we're going to talk about today covers the 14th of March, and that was a pretty significant outbreak.
That was a pretty significant outbreak. And it also,
for here?
For here, and also I think the Storm Prediction Center kind of fudged the forecast a little bit, because a lot of the severe weather happened a little bit east of where they had predicted.
That's true. They weren't sure, and they kind of fudged a little bit, Sue, just because I think they were not sure. And some of those forecast discussions I read said they weren't completely convinced something would happen.
Yeah.
They kept like enhanced, back off. But I think the tornadoes... the supercells did occur further north and east than they thought they would, as far as tornado activity. And
definitely farther north. Yeah. They definitely had at least one really powerful supercell that went across quite a swath of northern Ohio.
But these supercells that formed on the 14th, they lasted quite a bit longer.
Yes, they did. And as usual, it was a couple storms that caused most of the havoc.
That seems to be the bad pattern, so to speak.
Yeah.
That happened. Every major outbreak, there's usually, we've talked about this before, there's usually one or two storms that really...
Yeah,
they
take off.
Punch the core.
Yeah. An EF2 that formed in Indiana and crossed over into Kentucky. And, in fact, this was an incredibly photogenic tornado.
Yes, it really was.
As it crossed the Ohio River, there's some spectacular video that shows the inflow into the tornado.
We'll make sure we post that. Yeah. I think it was up maybe for... Maybe somebody else posted for a little bit, but we'll make sure we post that, because
let me make sure it's up there.
That is the most photogenic storm I've seen in a long time.
It was gorgeous. That was somewhat longer lived. That one lasted almost a half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Traveled 18, almost 19 miles, 500 yards wide at its most. It began in Indiana. It then crossed over into Kentucky, and then it, strangely enough, crossed back over into Indiana. We're not sure why. I guess it liked Indiana. Definitely there was some damage from this one. Some camping grounds were destroyed. Knocked over a number of trailers. Pulled some damaged some marinas.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, again, was just ridiculously photogenic.
Yeah, and the thing was, I remember looking at the radar images of that, and the storm kind of meandered a little bit.
It meandered a lot.
Yeah, the interesting thing about some of these storms, these supercell thunderstorms that day, they kind of just went their own way and just kind of meandered around, which sometimes tell you the wind fields and the steering currents above, you know, way up in the air aren't that strong.
Yeah, aren't that strong,
but enough, again, enough low-level shear. We've talked about that ad nauseum, that that's what keeps storms spinning, is you get that low-level shear, causes a spin in the atmosphere in the last, you know, several thousand feet, and that perpetuates a storm and keeps it going. Yeah. And the Indianapolis Forecast Office talks about a supercell storm that would go on to produce an EF3 tornado. Now, this tornado would start in Delaware County, Indiana, move into Randolph County, and then cross the state line into Dark County. We'll talk about that. That thing was about 50 miles, which is not insignificant.
Yeah, that's impressive.
And this was an EF3 rating, estimated peak winds of 165 miles an hour.
Yeah, I believe all the EF3 damage was in Indiana.
Right. Yeah, it weakened as it crossed the state line. I have family in that area, and they did see the funnel go by to their north. Yeah. They saw the funnel go by to the north, and they said, thankfully, Gary, that was more open farmland. Again, severe weather ramped up in Indiana. Unfortunately, then it crossed into Ohio, and the worst tornado of the outbreak is getting ready to occur, and that's going to move through Logan County here. So let me dig up the look. See, this tornado, I think, honestly, for the most part, even they may not talk about, I think they were surprised at this one.
Well, I think they were surprised. This actually, the tornado that hit Lakeview actually was preceded by a tornado that passed south-southeast of Wapakoneta from the same supercell. And this particular one was also rated an EF3 and injured 27 people with a path length of 31.9 miles, which is pretty impressive.
Yes, it is. I mean, again, a lot of severe weather. As the sky went down and the skies got dark, the storms got more intense. And again, I know I've mentioned this, but I think that threw a lot of people off.
I think it did.
I think we're off for it. Unfortunately, Sue, now we get to the main act of the night, and that is going to be the one in Logan County.
Yes, this one was very unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. This tornado had a EF3 rating with winds of 140 miles an hour. As it moved to the east, out of through Wapakoneta and to the east, it became stronger and stronger, weakened a little bit down to EF2, then jumped back up to EF3 just as it entered Logan County in the Indian Lake subdivision area there. It began to make a strong southeast turn between Wrestle Creek Road and Valley Road. Still EF2, it moved into Logan County, causing additional periods of significant tree damage north of Santa Fe. Now, here's where the tornado picks up some speed and some wind damage really occurs, and here's where the fatalities occur. All right, we're going here. Now winds, they're saying, Sue, now increased to 155 miles an hour as it entered the Lakes View subdivision. Again, 155 miles an hour is going to do a lot of damage. And the thing I noticed about this, Sue, when we're talking about, we saw pictures of some of the damage the next day through drones. And again, the thing that struck us both was, Sadly, it's a resort area, almost like a resort area, and the home construction was not all that great.
Now, a lot of them, I think, are prefab homes that are brought in and then assembled on site. And, of course, there were also some trailers and things because, again, this is a resort community. It's by a lake. A lot of people have summer homes there. And, obviously, there's really no place to go in a situation like that. The one thing that was fortunate is this happened in March. If this had happened in July,
oh my gosh, yeah, it would have been really
the death toll might have been atrocious. I mean, three is bad, but it might have been much worse.
And again, the tornado picked up intensity just as it approached the village of Lakeview. This was the worst tornado of the outbreak, and this one again took three lives, and I believe it injured 40, I think I've got 40 people.
Yeah, at least.
At least. And this was one that unfortunately, as it moved through the area, sirens went off. But again, people were caught unaware that a tornado of that strength and intensity in March was heading right toward them. And I saw some interviews the next day, and a couple of people said, we had no idea. We heard the sirens, but we didn't know what was going on. Or we heard the sirens, we think it wouldn't be a big deal.
Yeah, the trouble is if you hear the sirens go off, you know, it doesn't matter if it's February or July or March in this case.
Right.
It may be a very strong tornado, and you should act like it's going to be a strong tornado, even if it's something that just rearranges your lawn furniture.
Right. I mean, I did see a couple of interviews too where they said, well, we didn't think it'd be anything to worry about.
That's a problem.
And so it's like, well, yes, it was something to worry about.
It was something to worry about.
Because unfortunately, this storm was not playing games. And unfortunately, three lives and many injuries. Now, the supercell was not done yet. Unfortunately, it then moved through Union County and Delaware County, just north of the Columbus and everything. And again, another tornado. The supercell recycled and dropped another tornado.
Yeah, we kind of lucked out because I was afraid it was good. There was a very strong couplet that went right over Delaware, the city of Delaware, and that could have been very destructive.
Fortunately, there were significant winds for that area. I think this wind gust of 45 to 55 miles an hour.
Yeah, there was definitely some straight line wind damage. I saw photographs of.
And the thing was, this is a storm that they were showing on television, and you could see, and this is where everyone was really concerned because, Sue, you could see the traffic camera lighting the mesocyclone from the lightning.
Wow.
And I definitely saw, Mary and I saw a wall cloud and a funnel hanging down from that.
It did not touch down.
It touched down a little bit after it crossed over, did some damage here and there. Parts of western Delaware County did have damage, and parts of, eastern parts of Union County had damage. But you said that could have gone right through the city of Delaware.
Yeah, that storm was north of us, Gary and I, and I was watching it through my bathroom window. Mm-hmm. That's because that's the one that faces north.
That's right.
And the lightning was just continuous.
Oh, I know. And I'll tell you, usually indicative of storm strength, again, it's not a meter of it, but intense sheet lightning, what they call sheet lightning, continuing strobe flash, does mean the storm has the significant potential of being severe.
Yeah.
I didn't say tornadic. Because sometimes there are tornadoes with hardly any lightning at all. But usually, severe thunderstorms or supercells have a lot of lightning with them, whether they produce a tornado or not.
Yeah.
And so you see a storm with continual lightning, you really want to pay attention to it because that means this storm is significant and could do some damage with hail, winds, heavy flooding rains, or even tornadoes. So
it was spectacular, even from about 20 miles away.
Yeah, and we had winds here about 40 miles an hour. We had some wind gusts about 40.
Yeah, we had some powerful winds here and some very odd, teeny tiny hail that really sandblasted the side of my house.
It almost looked like grapple.
Yeah,
it was really strange looking.
It looked more like sleet than anything else.
Yes. Maximum winds of that tornado in Union and Delaware County were 125 miles an hour. The path width was 600 yards. Path length was 19, just under 20 miles. No injuries and no fatalities, thankfully. Now,
a lot of damage to, there was a large transmission line that was knocked down.
That's
some of those
true.
Big steel transmission towers went down.
And that takes a little bit of work to do.
Yeah, it does.
And anyway, now this supercell is last gasp as it crossed over into Union County and dropped an EF0 and an EF1. In parts of central Licking County and more, and storms moved to the east. The reason I mention that is because there was some damage to walls and buildings, outhouses or outbuildings had some damage. Outhouses had some damage. Sorry about that, folks. I'll get in the 21st century. I promise by the end of the show. They what was interesting though is that we have a couple friends live in that area, and they. One of our dear friends, Dan, said, Gary, I watched the tornado go down the road I live on and cause some damage on the two houses across the street of some friends of ours.
That's never fun.
And then I can just watch it go through. And then another family, a good friend, a dear friend, Tim and Lisa, were watching the storm go through the. They own a home, but they have some land in the back. And so we're just watching the tornado go through parts of our land and watching some trees and stuff come down. I'm going. He goes, "Thank God it didn't hit anybody there." I said, "It must have been something." He goes, "You know, you don't." He said, "Gary, I just don't expect those things. You know, at 9:30 at night to go knocking on the door. It's like that's what happens. You know, whether it's whether you have 100 mile an hour winds or whatever." Or 120 mile an hour winds. The fact is, there's going to be damage. There's going to be people's lives affected.
Uh-huh.
People are going to lose things. People, cars were damaged. Homes were damaged.
Livestock, like you pointed out.
Livestock, farms, buildings. All these things are still damaged by winds that don't necessarily have to be that strong.
No.
But even 90-mile-an-hour winds can do some significant damage.
They do a lot of damage. Yeah. They'll tear a barn up.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. So you want to, you know, you always take these storms seriously, but the fact that there's such a significant outbreak like this in lines of Ohio being number one total tornadoes in the country as of right now, to me is...
it's still weird to me.
It's very weird. I hope it doesn't continue.
Yeah.
I don't think I want Ohio to be number one in the country this year.
We're wrong number one to be.
Yeah. Now, I do, just a personal observation, Sue. Some people, you know, I've had people say, well, Gary, you know, what's the season going to be like? And really, you really don't know.
No. It's hard to tell.
We've had years, Sue and I, we've had massive tornadoes, you know, lots of tornadoes in January and February, March, and then April, May, and June.
Nothing happened.
It's just dead. Mm-hmm. And then we've had seasons, tornado weather start late and just rip right through the country. So it really doesn't matter. You know, we look at the great the Super Tuesday outbreak in 2008. Mm-hmm. And then for March and April, it was pretty quiet.
Yeah, nothing really happened.
Yeah, so you see, it doesn't matter what happens at a given time in the beginning of the season or middle of the season. You can't base on how many tornadoes we're going to have or how much severe weather we're going to have by, you know, just saying, well, it was bad here, so it must be going to be bad all year. And it's just not true.
Yeah, it's really hard. Tornadoes are kind of a smaller scale phenomena. It's really hard to say how many we're going to have.
Yeah.
Conditions can be conducive, but with tornadoes, all the conditions have to be conducive.
That's right. And honestly, for the most part, with the exception of a few major outbreaks every year, which do happen, most parameters for supercell tornado formation really don't last that long.
No, they don't.
As a storm moves through an area, the conditions change unless, again, it's in a major weather maker, like a deep, low-pressure system with lots of humidity and heat on one side, lots of cold on the other side, causing these storms to travel across the country. And that does happen. But again, I guess the best thing to just say, I guess in closing, is, you know, just be thankful, but also be aware. And we keep beating this dead horse sometimes, but really, any severe weather, any time of year, you need to be up for it. And you have to have a weather radio. Get your cell phone, you know, a weather app. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, and it's always worth checking the Storm Prediction Center site because they actually had this outbreak tagged about 4 days in advance.
That's right. That's right. And the same with winter weather because, you know, even though we haven't had much of a winter, sometimes...
But boy, north of here, they're
north
having
they did
one.
This past week, man. In Ohio, the snow belt kicked in around Cleveland. They had a lot of snow.
Yeah, and in New York, upstate New York, they're having a lot of snow and also across Wisconsin and parts of Minnesota.
There's been parts of the country earlier in the year had some significant freezing rain events.
Yeah.
So you have to always be updated. And it just pays to be ahead. My gosh, we've got all the technology in the universe here at our disposal this time of year. As your cell phone, as weather radios. Take advantage of it. Make sure you got your butt covered, so to speak, because you never know. You know, we've had record snowfalls here in April.
Oh, yeah.
And so it can happen. We've had record tornado outbreaks in April. Yeah, unfortunately. Yes, we're going to be talking about one of those.
Yes.
And we do want to remind you that very soon you're going to be hearing an interview that we'll be doing with James Spahn. James Spahn is a gentleman from the National Weather. He actually is a TV meteorologist for Channel 33 in Birmingham, but he covers the Birmingham, Tuscaloosa area. And he's going to be joining us talking about his experiences with the Dixie outbreak of 2011, for which he won several citations and awards for. And also how he fared as a teenager during the super outbreak. Very interesting show. You want to join us for that. That's going to be something to hear. So make sure you're with us for that. And also, we'll be talking about some of the things coming up for the 50th anniversary of the super outbreak.
And, of course, the eclipse.
The eclipse, right. You want to make sure that you're ready for that. And we'll be giving you information on how to be prepared, what to do, and what to look for. Because it's going to be a spectacular event. It really is. You do not... If you can be part of that in regards to being out there with the proper protection watching it, you don't want to miss it.
You don't want to miss it.
It's great. It's great. It's going to be a lot of fun. We won't be reporting live from that, but I'm sure we'll talk about it. Yes. Sue is on the sun right now. She's checking for us. It's a little warm up here, but the shadow looks cool.
It's okay.
Hey, for Twisted Talk, I'm Gary.
I'm Sue.
Y'all take care, and we'll see you soon.